Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome in to Josh and Swain. Thank you for being with us today. We are excited to be with you. Welcome to the month of February. Big month in the basketball world. Big month in the sports world. Big show coming up. We'll be with you for the next 3 hours here on Josh and Swain and invite you to join us. You can do so by calling or texting 865-656-9900. Tennessee basketball in action tonight on the road against the Florida Gators. We will cover that. We'll talk to Austin Price of VolQuest.com. All his work's done. Signing day was taken care of back in December.
That's right.
Kick back and relax. Is he still in Hawaii? Did he move there for the winter, or do we know?
No, he's back. He's okay. Back, and I think he brought the rainy weather with him when he did come back. But he's back, and I'll be honest, man, I didn't even think anything about National Signing Day today.
I forgot until I saw a note about it yesterday, but Tennessee not expected to sign any scholarship players. You have some preferred walk-on announcements for Tennessee. So we'll cover Tennessee football with Austin coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. And NFL news, Tom Brady with his retirement. On the anniversary of his first retirement, he announces his retirement that he says is for good. So you have that news today. I was on the phone for about an hour trying to get my refund on Raiders season tickets for next year.
What was your initial reaction?
Disappointment. I was bought into the idea of TB12 in Vegas.
Did you shed a tear? Did you cry a little bit?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Our second floor buddy, Chris Mills, asked me in the hallway today, man, what are the Raiders going to do now if it's not going to be Tom Brady? I said, they're going to lose. It has not been a good 24 hours. Sean Payton enters the division, and Tom Brady does not. Yeah. So the last 24 hours could have gone better for the Raiders.
Yeah, I've been surprised Sean Payton took that one. But it does make sense considering he's going to get paid a lot of money and they're going to give him control. So all he has to do is fix the quarterback. And the Broncos should win more. Easier said than done. But power, control, money, it's, I think, what every coach would like to have. So that division is going to be now interesting with Sean Payton entering it. And like you said, Tom Brady not entering. I mean, Tom Brady didn't even think about going to the 49ers. And the 49ers are set up to win a Super Bowl. That would have been an easy Super Bowl appearance probably for Tom Brady, at least to the NFC Championship game next year if he would have been the quarterback there. But
we also have reporting of Brock Purdy needing Tommy John surgery and likely being out for a year, not being available for the upcoming season. So they have Trey Lance coming back from an injury, but there's a great unknown with him, right? Yeah. I would not want to invest again in Jimmy Garoppolo to be the guy. So I mean, it would have made a lot of sense for Tom Brady to go to San Francisco. Take off my Raiders hat here. That would have made a lot of sense. But his announcement, you can hear it in a moment, but things can always change. They did a year ago. But he said, not this time, that this is it.
You know, the question is, who will the Raiders add at the quarterback position? Who will the 49ers add at the quarterback position? And do they feel like they need to add one quarterback there? Because with Garoppolo back healthy and Trey Lance back healthy, if those guys are healthy, the 49ers should be in the same position that they were in this past year, and that is making a Super Bowl run. But that's the question. Can they stay healthy? And if you don't believe they can, who will be that third quarterback now that Brock Purdy is out for the year?
Do you totally believe Brady? That is a question that some are asking. This was his message. It was quick. He posted on social media earlier today a video by the beach, Tom Brady.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Tom Brady's retirement message this morning.
You believe him?
I do.
I believe him too. I mean, I believe him more because of the way he played. Like, he didn't play all that well. And
it seemed this season took its toll on him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot that went on off the field for him. And you look at how he played and the team results. Offensive coordinator gets fired. A guy that he won a Super Bowl with. The head coach that he won a Super Bowl with is no longer the head coach. And the head coach who is there currently, to me, he's just not all that – he's not all that great. I don't think Todd Bowles is all that special. He's a really good defensive coordinator. So I think the writing was on the wall for Tom Brady to go ahead and ride off into the sunset. And, I mean, he has $40 million contract waiting on him with Fox to be a color analyst. And I don't know if he's going to – be better than Greg Olsen, because Greg Olsen.
There's some controversy there.
Pretty dang good, man. Class of 2003. He did a great job this past year.
Yeah, Olsen has been a big hit. And he has been on the record saying, I'm going to try my best to make it hard for Fox to replace me as the number one in the booth. And things can always change. We'll see exactly what Tom wants to do. But that is a huge contract waiting out there. And you don't necessarily hand that contract to the number two on the Fox team.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Greg Olsen, you embrace competition. You want to be the best that you could be, and you want to be the number one guy. But Fox didn't offer Tom Brady $4 million to be the number two.
Olsen is really good.
Yeah, he did a really good job. Really good job. You could not tell what position Olsen played when he did the games. Usually you can tell when a guy played quarterback because they know what everybody's doing. And usually when you have someone who hasn't played quarterback – you can kind of tell, but Greg Olsen, he did a really good job of seeing the game and being able to explain it in a way for just a common fan to be able to understand.
Yeah, and that's right. Fellow class of 2003 member. He was highly ranked in the class like you were, went to Notre Dame, transferred to Miami. He visited Tennessee. Tennessee was pretty high on his list. I remember him being on the Haslam practice field.
Oh, okay.
During a visit. It may have been unofficial, but I remember seeing him in Knoxville when he visited.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I do remember him at the U.S. Army All-American Bowl, and I remember he was committed to Notre Dame, and I was like, why?
I think he really liked Tennessee, but then he heard that this talented receiver from Huntsville, Alabama was coming. He said, well, I'm never going to get the ball. That guy's so good.
I mean, that's crazy because, I mean, Jason Witten was making plays and balling and
I don't know this. I'll bet Witten's success at Tennessee influenced him to have Tennessee high on his list.
Yeah. So, yeah, he has opportunity to be better in his second career than his first career as an NFL player. He was a really good NFL player, but he has a chance to be really, really special as a broadcaster.
Do you find any controversy when it is just stamped down? It's written in stone, Tom Brady, GOAT, the description of him today?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I do think he's the best quarterback, but football is the ultimate team game. I don't know if he's the best football player.
Speaking of the GOAT conversation, I say speaking of, I'm the one that brought it up, but have you seen Jerry Rice here recently has been very salty, and I don't know where it comes from, but the chain with the 49ers helmet that he wears is awesome.
Yeah.
But the other day, he was pulling out his rings.
Yep.
And you see him toss up the bird to the Birds fans?
Yep.
The other day?
Yeah, with his rings on.
And he had a hat that said GOAT.
Yeah.
So he's being very declarative there. And I don't know where it comes from. I don't recall this before recently, but I mean, maybe it did. But the GOAT attire and walking around with his rings, he's making a statement there.
I guess it's built up diva that he's been saving all these years. It's been pinned up, and it's been building up all these years. We haven't really seen him be like this as a player, and he's been fairly quiet. I mean, he did a short stint on TV as an analyst, And every time we've seen him, he's been really soft-spoken. But lately, he's like,
not now.
I'm about to let y'all know.
Yeah.
That was the best. And when you talk about football players, you got their Lawrence Taylor in there.
Yep.
Jerry Rice. I mean, I don't know if Tom Brady is the GOAT football player, but quarterback, you can't argue what he has done in his career.
Yeah. Tom plays the most impactful position, so that's where you gravitate toward, right? So you can almost do GOAT QB and then GOAT non.
Yeah. Man, football is so many different positions, and it is ultimate team game. But you're right. I mean, the quarterback is the most important position. He obviously won at the highest level, but Lawrence Taylor was special. Barry Sanders was special. Deion Sanders, Walter Payton. I mean,
Ronnie Lott.
I mean, just there's a lot of really dang good football players.
Yeah. Over that amount of time?
Yeah.
Maybe it's that receivers are just putting up crazy numbers now, and the rules have changed a little bit. Maybe it's Jerry reminding everybody before some of these young guys start to accumulate. But it's going to take a lot of time for any of these receivers to accumulate what Jerry Rice did.
I mean, he earned that right. I mean, the work that he put in, the numbers he put up, how durable and efficient he was. I mean, he did it at a high level for a very, very, very long time. So I don't blame him. I have no problem with him at all being demonstrative and letting people know that he was that dude. And sports fans can sometimes have recency bias where you kind of forget about the great players of decades ago because you're so enamored with the player today. But Jerry Rice's like, mm-mm, you ain't gonna forget about me.
Yeah,
I was that guy.
Jerry's a little different in the GOAT conversation. Now he handles it as compared to someone like Joey Kent, who you bring it up with him as Tennessee's receiver GOAT. He gets all uncomfortable and says, no, don't do that. Jerry Rice walking around with a GOAT hat on, pulling out his rings.
I'm ready for Joey Kent to show up at Tennessee's game next year. We play Georgia here, a big game here, and rolling up in here saying, I'm the best 11. I know how he got the record now, but I'm the best.
You know the photo with him full stride?
Yeah.
He needs that to replace one of the letters, the O or the A, with a big goat on his
chest. That's what he needs to do. He needs to wear.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Gift that to
a Tennessee GOAT t-shirt and let people know that don't be forgetting about him just because Jalin Hyatt had a good year this past year.
Don't forget this number 11.
He's a real GOAT. Let him know, Joey Kent.
We'll continue the conversation. One of the GOATs retiring today, announcing it, Tom Brady. We'll continue the conversation. Tennessee basketball in action tonight against Florida. We'll look ahead to the game. Do the Vols continue their winning ways in SEC play? Do the Vols still have a number one spot in the updated NCAA tournament projections? We'll update you there coming up, and you can be a part of the show. Call or text in 865-656-9900 alongside VFL and former Tennessee wide receiver Jason Swain. You're listening to Josh and Swain on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back in to Josh and Swain. Thank you for being with us on Twitter, at Josh and Swain. So Tennessee will play basketball tonight, back in action in SEC play, going down to Gainesville. Vols are 5.5-point favorites, last I checked, against the Gators tonight. And at the start of the week, Tennessee was a number one seed in the NCAA tournament.
That's right. They should be.
But things change, they evolve, and they will continue to, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the latest projections have Kansas hopping back up into a one-seed spot. With
what?
Tennessee.
For a Kentucky game?
Well.
Come on, man. You beat Kentucky, an underrated Kentucky team, and people acting like they did something?
Last night they beat Kansas State by 12. That was at home.
All right, never mind. Good job, Kansas.
So I would say that plus their overall strength of schedule.
You know what? I'm perfectly fine with Kansas jumping up. That only looks better for Tennessee.
Well, that's what I think. Yesterday we talked briefly about.
Yeah.
You want Kansas to win, but don't win too much because you're battling them for a number one seed.
Well, I mean, take care of business. There's three other number one seeds that you can.
That's right.
You can
Alabama's get. One in conference that you'll play head to head.
Yeah. So I don't know if Alabama would lose a number one seed, even if they lose to Tennessee. But there are still three other spots you can get if you're Tennessee, if you handle business.
But Joe Lunardi in his ESPN bracketology update about an hour and a half ago put together his updated seeding lines with Purdue, Alabama, Houston, the first three one seeds, then Kansas sliding up to the one seed line, and Tennessee sliding back as the top number two seed.
Hey, as long as Tennessee has the right draw, that's what matters. As long as Tennessee's not playing in a region where it feels like a true road game against a team that their campus is right around the corner, then I won't have a problem with even being a number two seed. As long as we are set up in the right bracket to be successful. It's all about matchups. That's what it's about.
So you have the polls, which don't factor into the seeding.
At all.
The net ranking does. It has Houston, Tennessee, Alabama, and Purdue in order as the top four teams. Kansas is number seven.
You know, there's a moment during football season where, like, the coaches poll and the AP poll, it doesn't mean diddly-poo. It's what Jim Moore Sr. would say. Diddly-poo. It don't mean anything. And it's when the college football playoff rankings started coming out. And I think we are at that position now in basketball where you get Joe Lunardi, he's cooking. He's cooking those brackets up. And it's the same thing now. Like the coaches poll, the AP poll, and all these other polls, they just don't matter now because Joe Lunardi's projections are what matters. Because more times than not, he is right. Pretty much all the time, he's pretty spot on because he gets his information from somewhere. The KenPom ratings, obviously those matter because – they are referenced and used.
Yep. Tennessee is number one. Kansas is number nine. The top five in KenPom: Tennessee, Houston, UCLA, Alabama, Purdue.
So there it is. So,
number one in KenPom, number two in the net ranking, top two seed according to Joe Lunardi's update. And we'll repeat today like we did on Monday when it was the 30th, and we will tomorrow where everything stands, or next week. A lot of basketball has to be played before the bracket is actually put together. I think what that says, whether you like hearing it, I'm sure you don't like it if you're a Tennessee fan, hearing Tennessee back at number two, it's a reason you need to take care of a game like tonight on the road. So playing a team like Florida away from home can be of value. A game against Alabama, a game against Auburn this weekend, Arkansas in the final week, going to Auburn for sure. Tennessee needs to improve its strength of schedule. Tennessee has scheduled impressively, I think, in non-conference, playing Kansas neutral site, playing at Arizona true road game. Maryland's okay. USC's okay. But the SEC is down a little bit. So strength of schedule ranking right now, Kansas is number one in the country. Tennessee is number 61. So that's where things are. So a team like Florida, you're playing them away. That's something that can be of value. Florida is number 52 in the net ranking, I think number, 51, according to KenPom. So these kinds of games, you need to win them, but they can help. Like South Carolina, LSU, Georgia, those teams hurt Tennessee playing those games because of how weak they are. So when you get better opportunities against quality opponents in the SEC, Tennessee's played one team that ranks you know, pretty well, I think. And that would be Kentucky, and it was a loss. Mm-hmm. So, let's see, Mississippi State.
Yeah,
Mississippi State is number 50.
Yeah.
So, not bad, but at home, that probably didn't do anything for you.
So, you got to handle business moving forward. And you got plenty of opportunities, too, right? Because you play,
yeah,
like you mentioned, Alabama and Kentucky. And, you know, Texas A&M is a team that's right now outside the bubble, but they're capable. I know Ron Slay talked about A&M yesterday. You play Auburn twice. Arkansas is a really good basketball team. They should be better at this point of the season, but they've had injuries. But they're talented. So the resume-building opportunities are pretty much – they start Saturday for Tennessee. Like, okay, Florida, you get a win on the road. I'm sure that's not going to hurt. But, like, the true resume-building opportunities for Tennessee, it starts this weekend against Auburn. And then – you know, you play Missouri the following Saturday. And then you play Alabama, then Kentucky, and then Texas A&M. And then you skip a game there with South Carolina. And then to close out the season, Arkansas at Auburn. So there's some resume-building opportunities right there for Tennessee.
Yep. So opportunity is now here.
Now here.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's not nowhere. It's now here.
It's now here. Well, it's nowhere until Saturday.
Right, right. So as Tennessee tries to improve its strength of schedule, and again, I think that just will naturally happen with the games they'll play, just to compare those other teams that are around the one seed line. So Kansas has the number one ranked strength of schedule. Purdue has the number 38th ranked strength of schedule. Alabama's number 8. So if you see the Alabama-Tennessee comparison, you're wondering, okay, they just got blown out by Oklahoma. What gives? That's probably part of the explanation. Both teams have 3 losses. Alabama's strength of schedule much higher. Houston's the one that I can't really explain to you. They have 1 less loss, but their strength of schedule is 97th. And again, Tennessee is 61st.
Opportunity is now here. Got to handle business. Got to handle business. That's all you got to do.
We'll talk more about it. Will Tennessee handle business against Florida tonight? That's still to come on the show. You can be a part of it. Call or text in 865-656-9900. Coming up next, Austin Price, VolQuest.com. We'll talk Tennessee football, recruiting, the transfer portal, right here on Josh and Swain on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Josh and Swain, thank you for being with us. The glass broke to bring us back in. That must mean it's time to welcome back to the show. Nice and tan, hanging out in beautiful Hawaii, riding waves. Austin Price, VolQuest.com, joining us each week thanks to Rick Terry Jewelry Designs. Austin, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Austin Price. Wow, man. It's good to hear from you. You sound great.
We talk Sunday. Let's not act like we haven't talked.
It's been 3 days. I miss you.
It is good to be back after a 2-week hiatus on the islands. And 5 time zones over. It's good to be back, joining you boys for a little ball football talk.
Well, you came back with a new ranking attached to Tennessee's, I guess now freshman quarterback, but the final on 3 rankings moved Nico up to number 1 in the class. What did you think? And by the way, you were out there covering Nico and the Polynesian Bowl. But with that news, what did you think? What reaction did you see from Nico with that news?
Well, I mean, you know, he's appreciative. He's never been one that worried about the rankings, you know, whether he was the 5th quarterback, the 6th quarterback, the 2nd quarterback, or the 1st quarterback. He's always kind of has kept his head down and kept working. He knows that, you know, he's got a lot of room to improve. And, I think that's one of the big reasons why Charles Power, who does the rankings for On3, he tries to project, and he just sees so much upside in Nico. He thinks that where his game can grow to will be greater than the other quarterbacks, whether it's Dante Moore or Arch Manning or Jaden Rashada or Jackson Arnold. I mean, ultimately, you know, it's a projection. And he thinks Nico's got the most upside of anybody. And, I know the staff here is excited about him, having seen him throw and back during bowl practice and Josh Heupel having watched him play last fall live in person. And, you know, Nico's just kind of got that right moxie. We on Ball Club Confidential this Friday, we'll have Joe Milton, and you know, Joe talked about how, you know, Nico comes in with, you know, a great attitude and asks questions and doesn't think he's got it figured out, that, you know, he's constantly picking his brain and wanting to understand with Coach Halsley or Joe or whoever why, you know, they do what they do. And he wants to get it. He wants to understand it, grasp it. And, you know, I think that, you know, the upside and the work ethic are something that, you know, Charles and everybody on three saw.
What kind of gains has Nico made so far? I know he just got here, but, I mean, he's been here, you know, five, 6 weeks already. Have you noticed any gains? Have you heard about any gains that he's made so far, maybe physically or mentally?
Well, I think, well, mentally, yeah. I mean, he's got a much greater grasp of things than he did 6 weeks ago. I think physically, though, it's you know, you see him last March, and it's easy for me because I've been with him, you know, two Novembers ago, last March, this summer, this fall at his football game out in California, watching him in bowl practice, seeing him at the Polynesian Bowl. I'd say he's probably put on 10 pounds, 10 to 15 pounds in that year, and it's good weight. And, I mean, like, that's the thing. People see him and they're like, oh, string bean. But he's really not. Like, you know, I mean, like, can he add a bunch more weight? Yeah. But, I mean, like, he's not, like, tiny, tiny. I mean, he's over 200 pounds. I mean, like, you know, tiny, tiny is a quarterback that comes in and weighs 170, like, you know, Cade Klubnik did last year when he got to Clemson. You know, so I mean, like, he's bigger than people think. And so I think that's where you'll see, like, the next month and a half for him before spring practice gets here to just do winter workouts and throw on, you know, 5, 6, 7 more pounds, just helps him going forward.
What's the latest on Tennessee being able to add a cornerback?
Well, you know, I don't see them adding anybody now. I mean, Davis and Igbinosin was the guy that they had, you know, targeted to try to add. You know, they recruited him last year, kind of came up short to Ole Miss. Back around this year, he obviously had enough interest in Tennessee to get himself admitted to school here, but then he kept taking visits. And when he kept taking visits, it was like, hey, Tennessee, I know what they've got there. I'm going to go ahead. That's my fault. It almost felt like the fallback plan. You know, and he went to UCLA, he went to Ohio State, he went to Michigan. You know, announcements for Ohio State yesterday, and, you know, kind of is what it is. As far as adding any other corners, you know, I mean, I don't know if they will at this point. They sure won't right now. I mean, conceivably they could after spring practice. But I think the biggest thing is kind of see where you are with the freshmen in spring. You know, what about Denico Slaughter? What about, you know, Brandon Turnage? You know, where are they at? And I think some of the guys that were at corner last year, whether it be Christian Charles, maybe one or two others, they're going to end up at safety in the spring. So, you know, what's, you know, Gabe Judy Lally, the, you know, BYU transfer, what's he look like in spring? You know, I think all those things are things you're watching for through Tennessee. And if you feel comfortable with where you're at, you probably don't add anybody. And if you feel a little queasy about it still, then, you know, I'd say they'll try to add somebody after spring practice.
Austin Price is with us, VolQuest.com. He joins us each week thanks to Rick Terry Jewelry Designs. And Austin, this 23 class that's already been wrapped up by Tennessee, it's really impressive, right? Highly rated players. I think it's pretty good across the board. If Tennessee staff is looking at it saying, okay, what can we do better? How can we build on this and be even better in 2024? What do you think is the answer there, or answers? How can they be even better in recruiting into this upcoming year and into the future?
Well, I think you have to take what you did in 23 and build on it. Now, you're naturally not going to have the Nico part of this class. But as, you know, I was talking about when we taped the mailbag podcast at VolQuest, it'll be out tomorrow, how this class can be better than the 23 class is you have more depth. You're deeper. You have more four stars. You have, you know what I'm saying? Like, your lowest rated recruit is much higher in this 24 class than your lowest rated recruit in 23. You know, and it kind of, you know, starts to level out a little bit. So, you know, Tennessee's got to just continue to recruit, you know, the South, Georgia, North Carolina. I'd love to see them get into Virginia more. in this state, obviously, I think you got to continue to kind of do well on the defensive side. But I'd love to see them, feel a little stronger on the offensive line. Like, I think that's an area where they've got to improve going forward. They need more tackle bodies. They need, I think they need higher rated offensive linemen. That don't mean those guys will come in and play right away, because the offensive line is such a developmental position. And even the ones that have had to play over the years, Juwan James, Darnell Wright, Wanya Morris, I'm not sure those guys were really ready to play as freshmen. Now, they were forced into it, and they handled themselves okay, but how much would they have benefited from sitting back and watching and learning, instead of getting just thrown in right away? I think that's why it's so important that you have John Campbell be really good, the transfer from Miami, really good development this offseason from, Gerald Mincy and J.J. Crawford. I think that's that offensive line in 2024 to me is very, very important.
How cool is it for you knowing that you covered guys like Darnell Wright and others who are now participating at the Senior Bowl? Got a chance to see some of his video clips, saw where the staff went down and paid a visit to the players who are competing this week.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
There at Senior Bowl.
I mean, no different than any other year, but I mean, obviously, some kids I know better than others. A guy like Darnell, I was fortunate enough to get to know him through his high school coach who, is from Morristown. He and I both went to Morristown East. Billy Seals is his name, and, Darnell's a good kid, man. And the best part for your NFL team is his best football's ahead of him. I mean, and he's just 21, and he'll be 21. He won't turn 22 until you're in the middle of camp in August. He's still really young. And so, whether it be he or Kate or, several of them over the years that I've been able to be fortunate enough to know, but more than just, recruit and media guy, it's cool to see those guys kind of get to live out their dream and have a shot, and so you just hope they stay healthy and perform well and get drafted as high as possible and make as much money as possible. I mean, a guy like Trey Smith, I tell kids every year when we talk about the draft, I'm like, Trey Smith's the ultimate example of, you want to go to, if you're not going to be a first rounder or a second rounder, after that, you want to go to a team that's established at quarterback. Because when you're established at quarterback, you are going to a healthy franchise that, has stability, probably not going to have a whole lot of coaching turnover. That's where these kids, sometimes get lost in the cracks, is when they go to a franchise that has no established quarterback. Look at Trey. Here he is, a sixth-round pick. No, sixth-round pick because of blood clots, not because of his play. He was a first-round talent. But if he goes to the Raiders, if he goes to Josh's Raiders or your Bears, where's he at right now? Probably still, right there, but you don't know. A lot more stability in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes.
I think he'd probably prefer to be in silver and black, but I can't speak for him.
I don't think he cares as long as the check clears.
I think he's probably good where he is. It's good to have Austin Price back.
He's beating up the Raiders.
Yeah, that unfortunately is true, and I hope that that's he's able to beat up a lot of opponents for the next few years. Just take it easy on the Raiders, which also could be easy to do if he wants to. Austin Price each week, thanks to Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, making it unique, making it special, making it just for you. We want to be your jeweler. That's Rick Terry's message to you, Rick Terry Jewelry Designs. Austin Price, welcome back. Thanks for the time, as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
Austin Price.
Mahalo, guys.
Oh, man.
Look at him.
You from Tennessee, Austin. You from Morristown. Don't be getting brand new on us, Austin. My heart out. You from Morristown. I'll surprise you. You can say bye like the rest of us country folks.
It's called culture, taking it in.
He can take it in. He can take it in. But you from Morristown, IP. Don't forget it.
Priceless information when Austin hops on board with us. We'll come back. The face-off, five tough questions coming up next. Joel Silverberg will set us up with the face-off. We'll come back. Still to come, Braden Gall, 440 Sports this afternoon. We'll talk to Jay Busby of Yahoo, his reaction to Tom Brady announcing his retirement. Again, we'll have that coming up here on Josh and Swain as we continue on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Josh and Swain. Thanks for being with us as we continue here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. With Tennessee basketball, we'll get back to that. Chip said, I'm just here for the ride. I'm going to enjoy it. Whatever happens, happens.
Good job, Chip.
Ken texted in from my comment earlier saying Trey Lance is an unknown. Said there's not an unknown with Trey Lance at all. At this point, I'd say it's very much known by the 49ers that he ain't the guy.
I think what they do next will determine if he's a guy or not.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, if they bring him back as the starter, obviously they disagree.
Yeah.
If they go with someone else, then they've made that decision.
Yeah, I think it's hard to determine that right now.
Right now it appears it's not going to be Tom Brady with his retirement announcement.
Yeah.
And if the reports are accurate with Brock Purdy that he needs Tommy John surgery, he's not the guy. I'm not going with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's had too many injuries, and I think his ceiling is too low anyway. So Trey Lance or what other option is there?
I mean, are you going to get rid of
Rodgers?
Two quarterbacks? You going to replace two quarterbacks at once and then a third quarterback who you
I mean, if Purdy's unavailable, he's unavailable for the year, it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. He's unavailable for the year. Yeah. So, like, you can get rid of two quarterbacks and then have a third one that you can't use at all. So what are you going to do, bring in two or three more quarterbacks?
Yeah, I don't know.
For next season? I'm not sure. I just think it's too early
to say that he's a known.
Trey Lance.
Yep. You can text in as well, 865-656-9900. We'll get back to the text box coming up. Right now, we get to the face-off.
You want some? Come get some!
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe. Let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man!
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
All righty, Joel, what do you have for us today?
What is a Tom Brady stat that stands out to celebrate his second retirement?
He won 7 Super Bowls. I mean, that's the one that matters and stands out to me the most because there were several Super Bowls where he was down and had to lead a comeback from behind win, especially the Super Bowl against the Falcons.
Earmuffs, Atlanta fans.
Sorry, Atlanta fans, but when the pressure mounts and it's the heaviest, can you perform? And not a lot of people can. A lot of people can be successful when the pressure's not on in the regular season. But when all the chips are pushed in the middle, can you perform? And Tom Brady was able to play in the most difficult position probably in sports, a quarterback. It's 7 Super Bowls for me.
How about this this stat from football perspective? If you took away all of Tom Brady's touchdown passes to Gronk, Moss, Edelman, Welker, and Mike Evans, he would have 418 regular season touchdown passes, tied with Ben Roethlisberger for 7th most ever. If you took away the touchdowns to the best players he ever played with, he'd still be a top 10 touchdown thrower. It's pretty good.
Is Russell Wilson back now that his coach is Sean Payton?
He ain't back until he actually do something. He ain't done anything yet. So he has a chance to be better. Better is the B word I'm looking for. Not back. He should be better.
I think he's going to be pretty good next year. So I will bet on him being back. There are no games to be played. Got a long offseason. But if Russell Wilson is bought in to what he needs to do to return to form, he has the coach to get in there. So I will say that Russell Wilson will be top 10 to 12 quarterback in the NFL.
Top 10 to 12?
Yeah.
12? He should be.
Does that make him back? Or is
that's not saying anything. This dude was once an MVP candidate. This dude should have won 2 Super Bowls. That's
not good quarterbacks in the league.
That's not standing on the limb. Top 12 quarterback? Let's go.
All right, top 10 to 11, Joel.
No, go top 5. Come on.
No, let's not get crazy here.
Speaking of Russell Wilson, Malcolm Butler picked off Wilson at the one-yard line 8 years ago today. What is one Tennessee play from the last decade that you haven't gotten over?
One of the best plays in Tennessee football history was the throwback pass from Juwan Jennings to Josh Dobbs for a touchdown. And it doesn't mean squat because we lost the game. Why? Hey. On the last play of the game with Florida. Threw a pass that was about 15, 20 yards, and we couldn't tackle him. He took it up the sideline for the win, 2015. That's the play I just cannot get over.
Yeah, you just need a fourth and long stop.
Oh, my gosh. That was so terrible.
So that was my number one. I'll give you my number two. They're both Florida plays. This is from a forgotten Susan, so I apologize. But 17, Felipe Franks just tossing the ball down to the field. I don't understand the defensive alignment. Pre-snap. You're going to overtime with your chance to win. So Florida, last play for the Gators to win in 17.
Yeah, that was also the game where John Kelly was cooking, and we decided to get cute on the goal line and go shotgun and run a receiver combination to the right side and throw an interception.
Sounds like you're not over that one either.
I mean,
hey, it is what it is.
Happy National Texas Day. Which VFL from Texas would you like to shout out?
I got to give some love to class of 2003, Corey Campbell.
Yeah.
Because in 2003, we go down to Miami. We beat the Hurricanes, and it's the last home game there in the Orange Bowl. And Corey Campbell hit Kellen Winslow so hard during that game that Kellen Winslow, after the game, was talking about a soldier. Call himself a soldier. He don't care about a Vol. Shout out to the Westfield High School GOAT there in Houston, Texas, Corey Campbell. So he stands out to me.
My shout out's going to go to Denarius Moore. They're taking this wide receiver to go with Lennon Greer. And turns out Denarius Moore can play too. Good player at Tennessee. Spent several years in the NFL. Played for the Raiders, which was fantastic. But have a fun Denarius Moore, Lennon Greer memory from signing day. They both did the interview on speakerphone. I think Lennon's like, we're good here. So he got up and left and let Denarius finish the interview. So shout out to Denarius.
Hey, you want to know something?
What's that?
You want to know who was Lennon Greer's host on his visit?
I do know who it was.
Uh-huh. Just saying.
Did you host Denarius?
I hosted Lennon Greer.
Okay.
No Lennon Greer, no Denarius Moore.
There you go. All right. Credit.
Just saying. I'm just saying.
My one hesitation of giving the shout-out to Denarius
Moore,
by the way.
I'm just saying.
Was your official visitor record.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Will Tennessee win at Florida tonight, and if so, by how many?
Is a pig's left booty cheek pork? Yeah, they're going to win against Florida. And they're going to win by double digits. Why? Because Zakai Ziegler is in a zone right now. And I believe Olivier will follow up his performance against Texas at home. I think he'll follow up his performance with another strong performance. I'm not calling for another, career day, but I think he will have a good game. And he'll take it to old Colin Casterton.
So double digits, is that a 10-point win, 15-point win?
Hey, double digits.
Double digits are pretty wide.
Double digits
there.
Double digits. All right, it can be 10. It can be 38 like Alabama did to Vanderbilt yesterday.
Okay. Well, Swain or Joel Swain just took the whole double-digit realm, so I'll go Tennessee wins by between 1 to 9 points.
No, well, I'm going 10 to infinity.
Okay, 10 to infinity.
How about that? Price is Right style.
All right, Swain gets the win. Here's a Brady stat for you. Tom Brady led his team to the conference championship game 70% of the time throughout the course of his career. NFL quarterbacks completed 64% of all passes this past season, meaning you had a better chance of Tom Brady going to the conference championship game than any quarterback in the league completing a single pass.
Yeah, it's pretty good. 17% of the Super Bowls he's played in, won 12% of them. It's pretty good. A lot of winning by Tom. He wins the day. The face-off, Swain gets the win. I think he cheated to win it, but he gets it. It's presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic. Call 766-2081 to set up your one-on-one consultation today. Start living the life you were designed to live at Marble City Family Chiropractic. We have 2 hours to go here on Josh and Swain. Join us. Call or text in 865-656-9900 here on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.